Alrighty, shall we get started? Is this the last session of the day? Yes, well, good. There's a lot of people here. How's build going for everybody? Excellent. Cool. So, my name is Nathan Totten. I'm a technical evangelist. I work mostly on Windows Azure. I do a lot of work with Node.js and other various JavaScript related things. My background is actually in primarily in web development. Before Microsoft, I actually used Windows Azure development. I also wrote the Facebook C Sharp SDK that you may have used if you've done any Facebook dev. Otherwise, today we're here to talk about JavaScript. So I asked this earlier, but I just want to ask it again just to sort of find out what everyone kind of knows and is expecting. How many people here have used Windows Azure before? All right, cool. Great. And how about Node? Decent amount. Okay. And what was the last thing I was going to... Oh, anywho. Oh yeah, JavaScript. That was my joke, but I already used it. Hopefully everyone knows what JavaScript is. So that's about what I had figured. So basically, I'm going to assume in this talk that you are familiar with JavaScript. If you are not, I'm not going to explain JavaScript things. But it should be still pretty easy to follow, hope, I guess. You're somewhat familiar with Windows Store apps also. So I'm not gonna this isn't gonna be a talk about introducing concepts in Windows Store apps. There's obviously been a lot of presentations about that, both from the user interface side and from like the JavaScript development and C Sharp side. So we're not gonna cover that. Mostly we're gonna talk about these kind of connected scenarios and how you can kind of use JavaScript in a variety of different environments. And then also you may have used Windows Azure before, not necessarily a requirement though, and you may have used Node, not necessarily a requirement either. So basically that's what we're going to do. As you'll see, again, this is not a Windows 8 app, as you'll see, or a Windows 8 app development session necessarily. You'll see from my user interface that this is certainly not a session that will talk anything about UI design. I would advise you to not build apps that look like the ones that I'm going to show you because they're not so good. So basically what we're going to cover today is a quick review of the Windows Store apps, talk about some web apps, talk about some of the concepts just briefly. We're going to talk about Node.js. So it's probably about 30% of people in here said they've used Node.js. I also want to do an intro, though. It'll be a brief intro, but I want to talk about basically what Node is, some of the advantages to it, what it even means to run server-side JavaScript. And then we're going to connect it all together. There's going to be a lot of demos. We're going to do slides at the beginning and then demos at the end. So basically we're going to talk about, though, how we're gonna build a simple application using Node running in Windows Azure. We're gonna connect that up to a web application, and then we're gonna connect that up to a Windows Store application. The app is not gonna be super complicated, but hopefully you'll understand the concepts, and you'll also see how fun it is to use JavaScript on all of our platforms. Basically, what we're going to talk about is Windows 8, Windows Azure, and Internet Explorer 10. We're not really going to talk specifically about Internet Explorer 10, but I really didn't want to put logos of other browsers up there since it is a Microsoft Build conference. But we're going to talk about basically browser apps, web apps. I'm sure you've seen this a million times. So again, we're not going to cover Windows 8 apps. But basically, running JavaScript on actually, how many? I'm assuming you guys have gone to JavaScript development sessions for writing Windows Store apps, right? Everyone raise their hand if they have. Okay, good. Okay, so my assumption is right. I don't want to bore you. So basically, obviously, writing client-side applications in JavaScript allows us to use a familiar language. We have access to the full Windows runtime, hardware acceleration, multi-touch, all kinds of things like that. Browser, a lot of great features. Also, modern browser, multi-platform. Obviously, we can run in a variety of form factors, and we get hardware acceleration on some of the devices. So a lot of power now with our HTML5, HTML apps, and our JavaScript. Additionally, we now have JavaScript on the server. So, Johnny, welcome. A little bit late. Actually, I'm going to have you do part of this talk too, right? No, sorry. Anyway, so JavaScript on the server. So Node.js allows us to run JavaScript on our server environment. Node.js is a non-thread-based platform, very efficient and very scalable. We do support running Node.js also in Windows Azure. So what this this async model, this non-thread based, oh, I got to stand behind the podium, sorry. What this single-threaded event, single-threaded model of Windows Azure looks like is basically this means your application is running in a single thread, unlike a normal web, a traditional web server like IIS or Apache running sort of a running like say a .NET or Java app. Your application is utilizing only a single thread, one basically one action at a time. What this means is that there's a lot of different things that are very scalable on Windows Azure. For example, an HTTP connection, or excuse me, on Node.js, an HTTP connection on Node.js uses very little of your server. Instead of basically allocating a thread to an HTTP connection, like say your MVC, your ASP.NET application would, a connection uses it's a small heap allocation. What this means is for your web from a developer standpoint, is connections to a server running Node.js are basically free. So you can have many, many connections running on very small servers, and basically they're processing this work queue. So pretty simple. So for those that aren't too familiar with Node, I just want to run through really quick what Node.js is good for and what it isn't. So as I mentioned, connections are really cheap. So something like sockets, long polling, great, works very well with Node.js. These proxy media services, JSON web services also work very well with Node.js. Any of these client-oriented web UIs, so basically, you know, forms application. Again, this HTTP type stuff, the socket, the connection-based stuff, very, very works very, very well on Node and is extremely scalable. Node also is works very well for building these simple CRUD apps, these form type application. The one thing is though, if you're a developer who likes basically a lot of rich tooling, Node is a much lighter weight development experience. So you may find that building these simple CRUD type applications might be easier, will almost certainly be easier on a more, I guess, established platform like ASP.NET and Rails. And then Node is certainly not good for CPU intensive stuff. So media encoding, due to the single threaded nature of Node.js, it's not going to do very well for doing video encoding, things like that. So Node.js running on Windows, we have this thing called IIS Node. Basically, we'll talk a little bit about how this connects to Windows Azure. But basically, running Node.js on Windows Azure runs in a process called IIS Node. This is a native module for IIS that runs your Node process. You get a couple really great advantages to this, what makes your application scalable and really easy to build. IIS Node does process management for one thing. So Node runs in a single, so process management, basically if your application crashes, it restarts, takes care of the sort of heavy lifting for you. It also scales out to multi-core. So IIS Node, so Node process is basically a single thread for the most part. Basically IIS takes care of scaling your application out to multi-core. So if you're running on a very large server, IIS Node takes care of that heavy lifting for you. Plus you also get some of the familiar stuff you would expect from IIS web server, such as access to HTTP logs. Additionally, you can run side by side with other frameworks. So a scenario that I've played around with before, built some samples out, is using Node to sort of manage to build a real-time communication portion of an application, a socket server, and actually do some of the more sort of more traditional HTTP stuff, web stuff in ASP.NET MVC. And using IIS Node, you can run those side by side. Additionally, you get this integrated manager experience you're probably familiar with IIS. And then additionally, now this is actually new as of today. We now offer an IIS Node WebSocket support on Windows Server 2012. So you may have seen this before in other sessions. Server 2012 now supports WebSockets. Basically rewrote the HTTP stacks to support that. And IIS Node, as of just today, basically enabled support. So now you can host your Node process in IIS and in JavaScript and actually use WebSockets for a scalable application. So configuration with IIS Node, very similar to what you do with any other module. Again, this is a native handler, basically just simple web config, and you're up and running with Node on Windows. And again, this is how we run on Windows Azure also. So for those that aren't familiar with Windows Azure, which I think was most of you, I'm just going to go through this real quick before we get into the demos. So Windows Azure is our cloud hosting platform. This is my basic obligation to tell you this, since this is my primary job, and I know there are still people out there that don't know what Windows Azure is. So very flexible, very open, solid platform. And by open, this is the main portion of this talk, is basically we're going to talk about running a non-.NET, non-Microsoft stack. So Windows Azure works great for a bunch of different languages, including JavaScript via Node.js. Huge global application. We've got 8 data centers worldwide and 24 CDN locations. So Node.js on Windows Azure is basically you have a lot of choice, a lot of flexibility. We support a lot of different services. I am going to go through a little bit of these in the demo, but there's not enough time to really go in deep, so I just want to mention briefly what services are available when building your server apps in JavaScript. So we've got a variety of different services on Windows Azure. Database, we have a module, a node module that allows you to query MS SQL. Additionally, we through our partners in our store, you can use MySQL. We do support storage through our Node SDK. We also you can use caching via our native Memcache implementation. Messaging through the service bus. You could use the CDN. Doesn't really require any server-side code. You can build your application on both cloud services and websites. These are two different hosting platforms we offer on Windows Azure. In my demos today, we're going to be using Windows Azure websites simply because they're my preferred development experience, especially for Node applications, but also much quicker to deploy. So a lot of choice on Windows Azure. Additionally, we just announced this week the Windows Azure Store. So for Node developers, this is actually a very really big announcement because we now can start bringing in third-party providers like what we announced a couple days ago. We have now MongoLab in Windows Azure through the store. So Node developers can use these sort of more JavaScript Node optimized services that we don't necessarily offer directly from Windows Azure. So a lot of flexibility and a lot of choice. So that's basically my brief intro. So with that, I just want to remind everyone to fill out their evaluations, and thank you for coming. No? Okay. So just wanted to do a really quick 10-15 minute intro to what we're going to be talking about. I actually do want to remind you to fill out your evaluations, though. I'll forget at the end, and then two of you will fill them out. So please complete those. So the rest of the talk is all going to be in code, just Node.js, all kinds of stuff, and then Windows 8 app. Does anyone have any questions before we move on and kind of start hacking away with JavaScript? No? Johnny, do you want to challenge me? No? Nobody has any questions? All right. Does anyone want to leave yet? Just two of you in the back? No, I'm just kidding. Nobody looked even to see if someone actually raised their hand. All right. So now I want to basically demo. I like we all we're all developers, so we like coding. So I want to switch over to my development machine and actually just show some code and build a simple application running in Windows Azure. So what I'm going to build is a first, we're going to build up a web application. It's going to be a real-time communication application. It's the almost canonical point at this point chat application. Kind of boring. However, basically, I'm going to let you guys interact with me and see what happens with your messages on the screen. So we're going to have a little fun with that. I did a similar demo in Australia at TechEd Australia a couple months ago, and those people are crazy. Is anyone from Australia here? Just one person. Okay, it was ridiculous. Like, I've done some stuff like this before, and the most inappropriate things on the screen in Australia. So hopefully we're a little more appropriate here. I've also fixed my code to guard against script injection attacks after that demo. So, not very well, but so if anyone wants to try to figure out how to hack around it, there's probably ways. So the first thing I want to show you is building a simple node application in Windows, and then actually deploy that to Windows Azure. So we're going to use Actually, excuse me, let me go back to my folder. So we're going to use Socket.io. Socket.io makes actually super easy, makes it super easy for you to build these real-time connected applications, which, because we're demoing in Node, because we're using JavaScript, this is sort of my favorite thing to show. Socket.io makes, again, real-time communication through WebSockets or long polling, if your browser doesn't support that, super easy. It's super scalable, plus it's also pretty fun to do, something that works quite well with Node.js. So we're going to start from scratch and just make a simple web app that allows us to send chat messages between two different browsers. So let's go ahead and, probably need to name the directory. So let's call this chat server. Is the font okay on that? We probably need to make that a little bigger, don't we? I made the IDs bigger. Is that a little better? Maybe more?
Fine in the back? Yes? No?
Okay, cool. So we've got our chat server directory. So Node.js, for those not familiar with it, is a very rich ecosystem in the community. We can install these packages. Basically, there's a bunch of open source packages available from the community. We use something called Node Package Manager, NPM, to actually install these packages. And then again, we're going to use a few popular ones. So the first one we're going to utilize is Express. NPM, in heaven. Install Express. This is why we use code snippets in the demo, because I clearly cannot type and talk at the same time. So Express is a great HTTP server layer, basically a helper for Node.js. You can basically think of Express sort of like ASP.NET or ASP.NET MVC, basically a layer that makes a lot of things super easy on to build a web server or REST services in Node.js. It comes with a nice little script to actually install our application. So let me just run that really quick. Node modules express, bin, and express. So we've now created our Express application, which I'll show you in a second. Run npm install again. And then I'm going to install, after this is done, I'm going to install socket.io again. Socket.io is the package that allows us to actually do this real-time communication that I'll show between our various different applications. All kinds of dependencies there. So now let's open up our text editor. I'm going to use Sublime for the Node portion of it. I forgot one thing. Let me just do this. So this is our packages.json file. I forgot to type save at the end, so I'm just going to do that so when we deploy it works. So basically, this is our simple Node.js application. So what you'll notice here, the first thing is obviously this is using JavaScript. So we run on the server, all kinds of goodness, using all of our packages, et cetera. So we've got basically this simple application. We've got our simple web server here. We've got our views and our Jade view engine, which, again, I'm not going to talk too much about the UI. We're just going to use some very simple stuff in our application. But basically, we've got this, again, very simple server that runs JavaScript. So let's just run that just to basically see that working. So I'm going to run that just via node server.js. So now our server is running, and let's open up everyone's favorite web browser, Internet Explorer. Do you not all use Internet Explorer? Oops. Who doesn't use Internet Explorer? Raise your hand. You have to leave. All right, so there we go. We've got our server. Our server-side JavaScript application running in the browser. So before we move forward, I want to show you a few quick tips to developing Node.js locally that'll save you some time. The first one is a little tool called Node Supervisor. So one thing you'll notice here, I didn't mean to close that, is our web application that we've developed. So we've got this route here, this index route. So one thing you'll notice, I'm going to actually change this to say home. I'm going to change my route. And one thing you'll notice here is that everything is cached. Everything's running in memory. So what I did there is I actually changed my route that I'm serving from just WAC to home. So my application, so now this shouldn't work. However, everything's running in memory. So to actually get that change, to actually have Node pick up that change, I have to restart the Node process. And let's just do that again. Hit refresh. And you'll notice that this doesn't work, and now we have to go to home. So just a quick pointer, there's another package that's available called Supervisor, and this does something similar to what IIS Node would do, but it runs outside where it actually detects changes for you. So we can run this same application in a process called Supervisor and server.js. And then it's actually going to detect changes in our application. So if you remember, we have our, let's just make sure, we have our home and we have our index, and that's not working. Now I can actually change this code back to what it was. Oops, typo. To what it was, and my route works. So just a really quick tip. It's a handy thing to use when you're developing. This is called Node Supervisor. Basically picks up the changes to your code and lets you keep developing without starting and stopping your server. The next thing I want to show really quick is something called Node Inspector. This actually gives us a rich debugging experience. I assume everyone's probably familiar, use Visual Studio, but we're obviously outside of Visual Studio, and we probably need to debug our application. So I'm gonna restart my application, and I'm gonna run it in debug mode. So now we've got a port open that's listening on 5858 for debugging purposes, and then I'm gonna start Node Inspector in a different command. And this is going to run a process on port 8080. And everyone shield your eyes. Pretend this is some sort of strange skin on Internet Explorer. I don't know. So let's run Node Inspector in the browser on localhost 8080. So the reason I'm actually running this in Chrome is because Node Inspector is actually built to utilize some very specific WebKit APIs. So it actually doesn't work in Internet Explorer, which is why we have to use this awful, slow browser. Why? That is not a joke. So let me just open up my server.js and click on something. Let's click here, create server console log. And that's not going to work. Let's click on... Nope, that's not what I meant to open. Let's click on our index route, which is up here. Lib. Nope. The alphabet sometimes confuses me. This is what I want to stop on. So let's just put a breakpoint there, like you would expect to be able to do in any rich debugging experience. Let's go ahead and move that over there and click refresh. And magically, we've hit that breakpoint. So you can see here, using Node Inspector, you get the rich debugging experience that you would that you're used to from maybe not quite as rich as Internet Explorer, but you get a nice console. And you may notice that this actually looks very similar to debugging in Chrome as you might be used to. So we can do we can use all of our basically our console here and inspect our object, run some code, render. Blah, 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 and make it do nothing. So basically, really easy way to debug Node applications for those of you that have not developed Node. I think this is a good thing to know to get started. So we're just going to close that. I just wanted to show you that briefly, just so you can kind of become a Node expert by the end of the day. So now that we've got our application up and running, let's add something more fun to it. So let me close this, terminate that, and we'll run it back as Supervisor. So now that we've got our application kind of running using our sort of basic web server, nothing exciting, I want to add socket.io so we can do some fun chatting on this application. So fortunately, I have some code snippets written so that you don't have to actually watch me type, because you saw how well that's been working. That's the wrong snippet. Socket.io server. So we're just replacing our initial HTTP server line. As you'll notice, this is actually the same line from before. We're just returning the server object, and then we're actually going to pass that into our socket.io connection and listen from that same port. One other thing to notice here, I know that I said we support WebSockets and Server 2012. For this demo, I'm not going to use WebSockets. I'm going to use long polling. So the reason for this is, as I mentioned earlier, IIS node, which runs our socket server or runs our node server in Windows Azure, as of just today, supports WebSockets. Additionally, Windows Azure Websites isn't quite yet running Windows Server 2012, so we don't actually have WebSocket support in Windows Azure Websites. We do have it in Windows Azure Cloud Services. Those take a little bit longer to deploy, so I didn't actually want to show you those today. However, very soon we're going to support Windows Server 2012 in Windows Azure Websites with this new version of IIS node, so you will actually be able to use raw WebSockets from your application to connect a web app or a Windows 8 application. For now, though, we're resorting to long polling. It accomplishes a very similar thing, just that it's not using WebSockets. It's still going to look cool. So we've created our socket server, and then let's just add a few bits here to actually connect, have our connection respond to an event. So the socket server is really simple. If you're familiar with SignalR, it's very similar to SignalR, where it responds to a message, in this case the on message, and then receives some data, and then can everyone see that? Is that big enough? And then basically we're going to broadcast out another message called news to all the other connected clients. So this is our basic application, and then I'm going to add my UI here. So this prepared to be dazzled and amazed at the quality of the UI I'm about to make. Look at that. This has got to be good, right? There's two whole tags, three actually, sorry, and then some script. So on the client side, the other thing I want to point out is the client side for this socket.io server is actually also very similar. So you'll notice on the server, we respond to a connection, wait for this message, on message, and then broadcast this, emit this news event. Very similar code on our client. So again, this is our client-side JavaScript running in our index view, connect to our socket server, respond to the news event, and then on when this button is clicked, we're just going to actually emit the text value of that button as a message. And this is the part that I changed here. This escape is very important. That's a lesson. If you only remember one thing from this talk, please escape your JavaScript code, especially when you're presenting in front of hundreds of people. So that is what I left out at TechEd Australia, because it's a demo. Who cares? I don't need to actually protect against script injection attack. When you're in Australia, you do. So that's a lesson. If you remember one thing from this talk, make sure to escape your JavaScript. So that's all we have for our socket server. Before we start that again, I just want to, you know, this is a very simple application. So we've got some basic code there, and here's our modules. So really, you know, you'll say, oh, this is only four or five lines of JavaScript on each side that's actually handling this event. So that all that power comes from all these modules, and this is something I really like about Node. There are tons and tons of modules, so you can pretty much have a module to do anything you can think of, whether it be, you know, interact with Mongo database, whether it be connect to, you know, SQL Server, or you know, any number of Windows Azure services using our Azure module. So we actually do have an Azure module, which I won't show too much, but we, you know, you could, or I won't show, but you could install that Azure module. I can't spell require Azure. So we have an Azure module, which again, as I mentioned earlier, allows you to connect to a lot of our Windows Azure services storage, blob table storage, Service bus queues, all kinds of things like that. So with that, let's go ahead and run our application locally. So I'm going to use Supervisor again, just for fun. And what did I do? Oh my! Cannot find. Oh, hang on. Whoa, buddy! Stop that. Node server. Cannot find module server. Oh, where did I? Oh, this is the wrong browser. I closed the wrong command window. Node server.js. There we go. Yeah, I was on the other one where we ran Node Inspector earlier. So now we're running again in port 3000. And let me just open up localhost 3000. And there's a tab somewhere in here. Oh, extends. What did I do? Block. Hang on. There we go. And make sure I don't have any tabs in there. Okay, now we're good to go. So let me refresh that, and voila, amazing user interface there. That is the best that I can do. I am a back-end server guy. This is the best user interface you're going to get. So there are plenty of other talks if you want to experience something slightly better. So let's open another browser and show you the magic that is Socket.io running on Node.js, our JavaScript server. Hello, build. Bam. Oh, I escaped it too much this time. I went the other extreme, didn't I? I added that just before because I remembered about those tricky Australians. So I escaped it a little too much, but you see the point. We've got our message there, and bam. And feel free, when I deploy this, feel free to connect and try to sabotage my very secure application. So we're running locally. We're connecting through through long polling in this case. And actually, let me just show you what's happening on the browser just so we can kind of see developer tools. And let's open our network and reload this page. So you'll see that a socket connection, or excuse me, a long polling connection is made. And you'll notice here that it's kind of small. You'll notice here that this is pending. Pending, not real time. So our request is pending. Basically, that long polling request is going to stay open for 30 seconds, and then it's going to time out eventually and make a new one. Or when a message is sent, Did that not refresh? Pending test. There we go. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. Okay, anywho. So our polling request basically, again, stays open until some message is received, and then it'll basically reconnect to receive the next message. So a socket connection would be a little more efficient. Basically, the connection stays open, and you wouldn't have to basically keep remaking those connections. But with Node.js, basically, again, as I mentioned, connections to the server are almost free. Very efficient, where they're very efficient in that they only, again, use a small heap allocation. So you're going to get a very efficient server. The nice thing about Socket.io is it actually allows for fallback too. So I explicitly set it to use long polling because IE10 and Chrome do support it, and also Windows 8, which we'll show in a second, do support WebSockets, but the server that we're going to deploy to does not. So with Socket.io, though, you get that nice fallback where if WebSockets is supported, it'll use that. If not, it'll fall back to long polling. It'll also fall back to some additional things. So it actually supports browsers that are as old as, I think IE 5.5. If somebody is using that, I don't know. Who in here is using IE 5.5 still? If any of you, you do have to leave if you are using that. So anywho, so now I want to push this application out to Windows Azure so we can see how easy Windows Azure websites are. So I've created this socket server, or I've created this chat application. Let's push it out to Windows Azure websites. So because we're kind of JavaScript developers and we're all hardcore like this, I'm actually going to use our CLI tool. So the really cool thing about our Windows Azure CLI tools is they're actually written in Node.js. So not only can you write your application in Node.js, but the tools you can use to interact with Windows Azure to create storage accounts, to deploy, are written in JavaScript as well, running on Node.js, which this actually means you can run them on any platform. For example, Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows Server 2012, any of the many operating systems that are available in the real world. So, there are others? Oh. Okay, so our Azure command line, Azure, which is the same module I was talking about earlier, we can create a new site, Azure Site Create, and so let's hope the internet works here. Otherwise, the cloud demo gets a little boring. That's the disadvantage of the cloud, right? Is it needs the internet. So Azure Site Create, build some name, and Git. So I'm adding this get flag at the end of this. So this is another thing to note. If you use, there's a lot of different ways to deploy to Windows Azure websites. If you're using Visual Studio, we use Web Deploy, which is really, really nice, really fast. But if you're not using Visual Studio, or if you don't want to use Web Deploy, or if you want to do some sort of continuous integration process, Git works really well for that, and we do support Git deployments to Windows Azure websites. And this // Git flag on this site create is actually going to enable Git publishing on the server, and actually even locally set up the directory that I'm in, the site that I'm in, set that up actually for Git deployments. So let me just click Enter here. It's going to go ahead and enumerate the locations available for Windows Azure websites. I need to choose one. Let's choose West US because it's closer. We do actually have Windows Azure. I haven't downloaded this published profile. I think I might be using a test account. But we do actually have Windows Azure websites in all of our data centers now. So you can use them all around the world. Before, it was only available in a couple. So we're basically creating that. So what we're doing is, again, creating that site on the server, build 345423. We've created that on the server, and now it's actually enabled my local directory as a Git repository. So for Git source control, for those that aren't familiar with it, it's similar to Subversion or TFS. It's a local source control. So let's go ahead and add our files to our repository. Add our files to our repository, and I'm going to commit those. So I've added those to my repository. Now I'm actually going to push those up to Windows Azure. So Git push Azure master. And so now what's going to happen is So now what's happening is when we're actually pushing using Git, we're pushing our source code up to Windows Azure. The one thing you'll notice now is it's actually running NPM. So the really cool thing about Git deployment to Windows Azure websites is we're actually only deploying our application source code. So those few lines of JavaScript and JADE files that we actually used got pushed up to the server. So it was very fast. And now on the server, we're actually running that NPM install process to download all of our packages. We actually cache these and such, which is why it's so fast. Although we're still waiting. Usually time that so that it's done. So it's trying to compile. It's going to download a bunch of packages and compile them, do all kinds of fun stuff. So now our site is actually deployed to Windows Azure. So from the command line, we can also do Azure site browse. Oops, not browser. Browse. And it will open up our website. So now we have our website running on Windows Azure. So for those that are, oh man, I'm stealing your Surface keyboard. All right. So for those that have their Surfaces or other Microsoft-approved devices out, no, it'll work on anything, but build 3454. I probably should have made that easier to remember, shouldn't I? A461. Why aren't you guys writing it down? Can't remember that? So build 3454.azurewebsites.net. You can send messages in this highly secure and highly encode. Oh man, now we're getting crazy. So now while you guys are entertaining yourself with that, I'm going to build a Windows 8 application that also connects up to this. Node rocks. What Linux? What is? I'm not familiar with that word. Linux. Interesting. Well, Tom, that's not my name. You have to leave too. So, all right. So now that we've built a fun application, you guys are keeping it. I don't know if you're keeping it appropriate because I said that you should, or because only there's one person from Australia here. I've done this in like all over the world, and it was only in Australia that I had a problem with it. It was like all these like ASCII drawings of things that you wouldn't want on the screen, all kinds of things. So yeah, so nothing. Australia, fun place. They had news. So New Zealand, I did it in New Zealand. Totally fine. Totally okay. They're much more appropriate. So yes, beer. It doesn't have one. Why did who brought me my beer? No, okay. All right. So this is being recorded, isn't it? Oof. Now I'm gonna get fired for sure. So the next thing I want to do is build a application, a Windows 8 application that connects up to this server that we just created. So again, using JavaScript. So new project, and you've probably seen this a million times. So I won't talk about it too much again. So we've got our Windows Store app, yes. Our Windows Store application. I do not want to be quoted in any press, so I'm going to call it. So we've got our Windows Store application. Now we're going to use socket.io locally and socket.io in Windows 8 and actually connect to that existing server. So the first thing I'm going to do, just to save some time, is I'm going to add that socket.io script. I already had it downloaded, so we don't need to go retrieve it again. And then let me just go ahead and add a link to that. Script source equals io.js. All right, so I'm adding my source. And then let's just add, again, some very fancy UI. Bam, look at that. Content goes here. And we'll go ahead and change this to build 2012. And now let's go back to our default JS file and just set up our socket.io server. So again, in the interest of me not boring you to death by typing, JS connect. So we've got some server, and you'll notice again, this is actually the exact same code that we ran on the client, the web client. So very, very simple. Holy moly. So we're going to change that URL to connect up to our server. And again, very similar code, socket on respond to that news event. And then I'm also just going to add some simple code that actually responds to the click of the button. So very, very similar to what we've done in the, make sure I get that in the right space, in the browser. So we're going to add an event listener to our button, our send button. Just get the text value, and then emit that to the server. Again, very similar to what we did on on the browser client. So let's go ahead and that should be it. Let's go ahead and run this and see what nonsense everyone's sending. So let me pin that to the side. High five. And open my Internet Explorer, this one, and scroll to the bottom. And, well, you guys obviously see it's working. I don't have to do the last part. It works, believe it or not. Bam. So, pretty simple. So we've got a Windows 8 application. We've connected it up. Oh, yeah, hooray. We've connected it. So we've got a Windows 8 app that's running JavaScript, connected up to the server that's running JavaScript, that communicates to the web browser that's running JavaScript. So I think this is pretty exciting. I personally really like JavaScript. I know a lot of people don't, but I assume if you're here, you do like JavaScript. So I think this is actually pretty cool. Someone's trying something with this here. I'm going to wait and see. What do you got going on? Somebody's... All right, the rest of the talk is actually just waiting to see if somebody can hack this with my... expert security hack. Oh, there you go. So so this is a pretty simple demo. Basically, again, just JavaScript, some simple Node.js. Again, but I think it's really quite exciting what we can do here. So actually, before we move, does anyone have any questions about what happened or what is going on? Yeah, definitely. I don't know what it's called either. The top of this? Yes. This link? Do you want to write it down? It's just the default. Yeah, so this is just the default template of the empty application, which is why my UI looks so amazing. Bam. Golf clap. All right. So yeah. So just a simple, very simple web app. So we've got our empty JavaScript application. So there's all kinds of really cool things we could do with this. This is obviously some very simple code. One thing, basically what I want to talk about next is, yes, we didn't even connect a database. There's nothing. It's been a long day for you, sir. No, just kidding. That, if it did something, that would be impressive, though. Like, getting my SQL Express to start or something. Like, oh, man. So the next thing I want to talk about briefly, we've got about 10, 15 minutes or so. So this is obviously a really simple application. So we've built a lot. There's obviously a lot of different things you can do. So you can obviously use like the normal libraries you're used to using, like jQuery, bunch of all kinds of other stuff, knockout, all these sort of things can run to build applications that run in any that run in we'll do Q&A this way that and applications that run both in the browser and in Windows 8. I know there's actually a talk, I think it already might have happened on gaming, but one thing we actually did that I think is pretty cool, we actually did this for build last year. We actually built this game called Tankster. We actually initially built the game before we even had a prototype of Windows 8 available. So we actually built it entirely for Internet Explorer. We actually ported this game over to use Windows 8 in just actually like a week. And it was actually a pretty complicated game. It's not running anymore. Otherwise, we would just sit here and play it because it's very exciting. But we do some of the similar stuff using Node.js on the back end, using Socket.io, using these Windows Azure Storage services. Basically, we built this game basically as a cross-platform device. But basically, the point of this is though, like, it's actually pretty simple to build these applications that run both on the browser and in a Windows 8 application, and then also layered on top of that a Node application that runs in the server. So really, Tankster is awesome. Has anyone used Tankster? Has anyone downloaded it from last year? Just Johnny, no one else. So Tankster is actually available as open source. It's like this huge application that has all kinds of graphics and stuff. But it actually is a really good application to show you kind of how to build a client-side application, an HTML5 application that runs like in IE in other browsers, or you can take that and port it to a Windows Store application. We did add some sort of Windows 8 specific stuff. You know, we added some of the specific gestures and touch events to kind of make it more Windows 8 specific. But it was actually quite easy to move that browser or that game between the different applications. So the next thing I want to kind of show you is a little bit how to use some of the Windows Azure services. So again, does anyone have any questions before we move on? Yes.
So how would you consume the WebSocket service from like C#?
Yeah. So that's actually a good question. So if you want to build this some sort of application that uses JavaScript, like Node.js, or uses JavaScript on the client, and you want to also consume that with the C# application. So that's definitely possible. With .NET 4.5, we've added a whole namespace. I don't know if it's its own assembly or not, but it's system.net.websockets, I believe, where we actually give you also a whole library to consume a WebSocket. So there isn't actually an implementation that I know of to basically consume to interact directly with socket.io from like a .NET or C# application. However, the socket.io protocol is actually pretty simple, and you could just write that using those system.web, and I would imagine someone will do it soon enough, where you could use the system.net.websockets interface to actually connect to this socket server. And basically, the socket.io is just a matter of responding to like the events and following things the way they do it, which they document the protocol. So you should pretty easily be able to do this. If you were building an application that actually only targeted WebSockets, though, like you knew you were only targeting rich browsers, IE10, the newer browsers, and a Windows 8 application, and then your server supported it. Like, you could just use WebSockets without this layer of socket.io. The advantage of socket.io is that it's a pretty simple programming interface, so it's easy to use, but also gives you that backward compatibility of older into older browsers. So you can build basically this server that, again, works great in, for Windows 8, works great for modern browsers, but also falls back and supports other browsers. So So basically that's kind of what I want to show as far as the connecting multiple applications. The next thing I want to show is how we can use some of the Windows Azure specific services from our Windows Azure Node SDK SDK that I talked about earlier. Let me go ahead and open my, let's go ahead and stop this. Bam. All right. So let's go, we're going to be done with our Windows 8 application now. And oh man, we've got nothing yet, so this is good. All right, so let me close this up. And so as I mentioned earlier, we have the Node SDK. So the Windows Azure Node SDK supports storage, table storage, blob storage. It also supports service bus. Our service bus allows for messaging, for queuing, and we also through not the Azure SDK and not the Azure package, but through a different package, we actually support MS SQL, and then you can use MySQL. We also support through the Windows Azure Store, which if you haven't had a chance to check out, it's actually quite cool. This isn't part of the demo, but I just want to show it. But basically in the Windows Azure Store, we have a lot of great, if this loads, we've got a lot of great application services. The one in particular that's quite of interest, I haven't had a chance to play around with too much, it just came out. But we've partnered with MongoLab, so you can actually use MongoDB. So if you're a Node developer, MongoDB is an excellent way to store data. This is the wrong subscription. I'm in my Microsoft account, which isn't supported. But if you're in your own subscription, you can actually go into the store and add things like MongoLab to use MongoDB, etc. So the biggest thing, though, I think that's quite powerful to use is Windows Azure Storage. So Windows Azure Storage allows you to store. It's very scalable, very high performance storage mechanism. You can store tables, you can store blobs in an extremely scalable and high performance way. And again, you can access that from the Node SDK. So let me go ahead and open our Sublime application up and go back to my server.js, and I've got a few other snippets here. So what I want to do is actually create, first I need to install my Node package. So let's go back to our chat server, npm install Azure. And now I actually want to go ahead and add a few more snippets. The first thing I want to do is actually create a Windows Azure table to store my messaging data. And for that, I'm going to do that at the top here. For that, I'm going to add another code snippet. Oops, probably right here would be good. And snippet install Azure. Why is my snippet not there? New snippet. I did not drag these snippets in here. Why did I not do that? One second. I guess at this point it would have been faster for me to type it. Go here quick and grab my snippets from... Snippets. Table create and save. And there we go. All right. So let me go ahead and create. First, we're going to create a table in Windows Azure Table Storage. So snippet table create. So what this is going to do is use our Azure module, and we're going to create a table service, and then we're going to actually create a table called messages. So the first thing we need to do is use our Windows Azure table store. So I'm going to use one I've already created. It takes a little bit to create. It's called Build WebSockets. So I'm going to go grab my storage key and just show you how easy this is to use. So our account name is Build WebSockets, and our account key I'm going to paste in there. And if you could write that down really quick. But I don't think you can. So the first thing I'm going to do is create my table. The next thing I want to do is just really easily save this message. So we've got our incoming message, and we're going to save that to Windows Azure Table Storage. So snippet, table, save. So we're going to create a, format that a little better. So we're going to create, on our news event, we're going to create an item called news, and we're going to pass our data in there, and then we're going to insert it into Windows Azure Table Storage. So you can see how easy that is to use these, one of these Windows Azure services. Like I said, there are many of them for storage, for blobs, for queues, but this we're going to use our table. So let me just run this locally and see this working. Node, server.js. And let's say on port 3000, and let's run this test, and now we've actually inserted into table storage. Let's go to my server browser. And this is actually really cool for those Azure developers. If you've missed this, this is actually a really cool new feature we've added into Windows Azure Storage. We've added the ability to actually connect and view storage accounts, build web sockets directly from Visual Studio, so you don't have to use some special outside tool. So let's open our tables, and we'll see here that messages table we created now contains two new entries to news. Add something else, go back and refresh. And now we've got a third. So very simple way to use Windows Azure Storage. Like I said, there are a lot of different services available. We're just about out of time, so I don't have time to demo anymore. But you can see how easy it is to use. And table storage is just super powerful and super scalable, and actually also really inexpensive. So if you want to store a ton of data in there using the Node SDK for Windows Azure, you can definitely do that. So that's really about all the demos I have. We've got about 4 minutes for questions if anyone has any. Go ahead. Yes. Great question. So I already had them installed. So the Azure CLI tools are actually the same. Again, it's the same Node package as I was using. So when I did npm install Azure in our project, the only thing I actually needed to change is do -g. So this is a flag in npm that basically installs them globally, and then installs the package globally, and then I can use it from the command line, and you can see that. So yeah, very simple to install, and you don't need any other specific Azure SDK or tools or anything. That's all you need to use Windows Azure, at least for Node. So anyone else? No? Okay, cool. So we're about, oh, yeah, one more. Yes. So I didn't show cloud services for a couple reasons. So cloud services right now have a dependency on Windows, so we don't actually have tooling in them in the CLI tools I installed. So we have another set of CLI tools that are basically the same, except with more features that are actually PowerShell tools. So you can create a Node, the reason is because some of the packaging stuff for cloud services requires Windows. But if you are on Windows, we actually do have some PowerShell commandlets that allow you to create cloud services. And other than that, there's not a lot of difference. The deployment is different for cloud services. You're not using Git. You're not using Web Deploy. We actually do a cloud package. We actually package up your application, what we call a cloud package, a cloud package, and deploy that up to the cloud, and it spins up whole servers and stuff for you. So there is a little bit of difference. I didn't demo it because it does take a little bit of time to deploy, so it's a little bit harder to show. But Node.js is certainly supported in there, both in our old .NET SD or our old SDK running Windows Server 2008 in the cloud, but you can also push a Node project running a worker role or a web role up to Windows Server 2012 as well. Yes. Yep. The question was, do I have any statistics basically comparing long polling or from using Node versus something like .NET or Java, correct? So the biggest thing, I don't have any statistics, as I don't know exactly like how many requests you can get per machine. I mean, that varies. The one thing I have seen though is the size of a connection. So you could basically I've seen with a with a node server, so an HTTP connection run as little as, say, like 4K of memory. And a traditional server, like, say, Java or .NET, is more usually in, like, the 40K range or something. So you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck in terms of like, a long polling connection, just because, like, that's just, like, the actual process of allocating the HTTP connection. So just with that, it's a lot lower memory footprint. As far as, like, how many requests per second, I don't know. You know, it depends on your server, the network, all kinds of stuff. And feel free to leave if you want to. So anyone else have any other? Not that. Come back, everyone. No. Anyone else? I'll be around. I think we've got about 30 seconds left. So thank you very much for coming. Remember, please fill out your evals. Hopefully you learned a little bit about how to use JavaScript in all kinds of different environments. So thanks a lot.